All right, the Audible is on the air. It's Wednesday, a little early, 3:30 here this afternoon. Going to get in early, going to get out early. I'm Kim Bocamper. This is the Audible. You're watching us on Periscope. You can send your questions in. Just go to the message bar on the bottom of your Periscope page. Go ahead and send them in, and we'll get your questions here on the program. We'll answer them. Joining me now today from Dolphins.com, Alan Poupard. And Alan, we're in the doldrums, if you will, of the NFL season. The NFL's done a good job over the last 2 decades of making sure they were in the headlines almost 12 months a year. Well, this is the month that they're out for the most part.
Yeah, that's the dead days.
Yeah, it's the dead days. But it doesn't mean that there's not a lot to still talk about. One of the things to talk about, New England Patriots, they went ahead and made a signing. They signed David Harris, a linebacker who's done he's had a great career with the New York Jets, done a lot of good things. The Jets leave him out there. New England signs him. And again, you look at the New England Patriots, in my opinion, made themselves a better football team by signing David Harris. And I'm sure they got him on a bargain basement price.
Well, you guys have a proven veteran who wants to join a team that's a championship team. And all the moves they made this offseason, I mean, Brandon Cooks, Stephen Gilmore, it goes on and on. Now, David Harris, I mean, they're not going to make it easy for any of the AFC's teams.
No, they're not. And they just, you know, they have that knack for, you know, grabbing those guys that still have a little gas in the tank. Maybe not much gas, but they're going to ride them until that gas goes dry. And then they'll make the move to get rid of him and go somewhere else. And this seems to me to be another one of those cases.
And they still have number 12, a quarterback. Which is always the biggest
factor. Quite frankly, in my mind, I don't know about you, but in my mind, if 12 leaves, it doesn't matter who they sign. They'll never be as good as they've been over this period of time. I mean, they to me are as much of a quarterback driven. Look, every team in this league is quarterback driven. They may be more so than anybody else.
Except I always go back to that 2008 season, which was a great season for the Dolphins when they won the AFC East. But New England was 11-5 that year with Matt Castle.
Yeah. So. Well, and look, I mean, look at, you know, last year, Fourier was out for 4 games. Everyone expected that's a chance for everyone to make hay. And, you know, their backup stepped in and played well for them. I think where they go, 1-3 over that period, or they go 4-0?
No, they were 3-1, yeah.
3-1, yeah. 3-1, yeah.
No, they have such a system in place. I mean, they'll never fall off the map as long as Brady is there and as long as Belichick is there as well.
Be interesting to see what Brady says. He's going to be there until he's 50. So
let's hope not.
We may have a lot to watch.
If Giselle has something to say about it, they're going to be there until 50.
Hey, speaking of New England signing David Harris, you know, there's still some free agents out there. There's still some guys floating around out there that, you know, that you kind of scratch your head. And you know, one would be Orlando Franklin. You know, a guy that's played guard for the San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. And Mangold, that's still out there as a guy that can play be a backup center, possibly be a swing guy for you and play guard a little bit. Do you think the Dolphins have invested much time in considering those guys? Or in your opinion, forget the team, your opinion, would any of those guys make sense? To me, one of those offensive linemen would make sense to me from a standpoint of, you're not going to have to pay an exorbitant amount of money for him, I would think. And you get a guy, whether it's Franklin as a guard, Mangold as a backup to Pouncey, especially with Pouncey's situation, doesn't seem to me like it would be a bad way to hedge your bet a little bit.
Sure, because added competition never hurts. I mean, by all accounts, Franklin did not have a good year last year, which is part of the reason why he's on the street. Mangold, the thing is, if you bring him in, you never bring him in to play center because you already have Mike Pouncey.
Well,
obviously there's a bit of a question mark there. But if Pouncey's healthy, Pouncey's your center.
Well, I know that, no doubt. But, you know, Mike Pouncey hasn't been healthy for the last couple of years. He's missed games with his hip. He's had 3 different procedures, I believe, on the hip. And so as an insurance policy, you know, would you rather have a guy like Mangold or Urbick or Steen be your guy?
I think that's kind of an obvious one. But does Nick Mangold want to come to a situation where he's not starting unless the guy in front of him can't go because of health issues?
Well, I think the longer that he sits at home and no one's calling him, the more his tolerance for doing that, I would imagine his tolerance becomes greater for stepping in and being that guy as a backup if no one else is knocking on your
door. No question. And from his standpoint, too, he wasn't a guy who was in a hurry to sign him. Does he really need OTAs at this stage of his career?
No doubt.
But you mentioned we're talking about guys who are still out there and who might fit a need. Well, I'm looking at Jared Odrick, who used to be with the Dolphins, obviously former first-round pick. And the Dolphins right now have Ndamukong Suh at defensive tackle. They have a lot of hope that Jordan Phillips takes the next step this year, but there's no guarantee.
And you got the young guys they drafted to see what they're going to be in.
Correct.
No one knows really what those two guys are going to be because you haven't seen them in pads. At least with Jared Odrich, you got a guy that's a proven commodity. You know him. You know what kind of guy he is. For everything that, you know, I don't know if anything has happened to Jared since he went up to Jacksonville, but when he was here, he was a good citizen. He was a good guy, good locker room guy. Consistent player for you, did good things for you. A little bit of a quirky guy personality-wise, but I like that.
Oh,
you
know, no,
drives
I,
around,
I love Jared.
Drives down a little mini car, you know, and the whole thing. A good guy to have around. So, you know, to me, it would be certainly a consideration.
Oh, absolutely, no question. Like, again, you want to talk about insurance policies, that would be a really
So do we think that these guys that are out there, and there's still a number of guys, Darrell Revis is still out there, right? There's a number of these guys out there that you know, may not be the players that they were at one point, but certainly they're recognizable names to the fans out there. When do these guys start falling off the list and being signed? Are these guys that are going to be mid-training camp, where guys, hey, we lost a corner. It, you know, Revis now seems to be a fit in the picture. We dropped an offensive lineman. Orlando Franklin, maybe the guy. I mean, when do these guys start seeing a contract come their way? Or is it the day and age in the NFL where, you know, 1 year a starter and the next year you may not just have a job?
Well, you know, to me it also depends on what kind of year these guys are coming off of.
Yep.
Revis was not really impressive last year, and there were reports that he really checked out.
Yep.
So he's a guy to me who if he's going to play in 2017, would have to sign earlier rather than later because he has some proving to do. Whereas Mangold's play was at a high level when he was healthy. Odrich, by all accounts, played fairly well. So I don't think the guys have as much to prove as Revis does, for example.
Yep. So do you think some of these guys are going to be mid-camp signees?
Sure. Some of them may sign during this dead time.
Yeah, it's interesting to see because, like I said, there's a lot of guys out there that you look that you feel still have a little bit of a little tread on their tires.
Yeah, we were talking before. Ryan Clady's still out there, who's a very high profile guy. Yeah. Not that the Dolphins have a need at left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all in with Tunsil.
Exactly. Jarvis Landry. The other thing we wanted to talk about, Jarvis Landry. Word comes out that Jarvis is saying, and you know, we've heard this from other guys, that, hey, you know what? My contract, you know, if you want to sign me before we start training camp, because once we start, I don't want to talk about contract anymore, which seems to be the verbiage that a lot of guys are using these days. My question would be, well, what happens when they drop a nice fat contract on you week three of the season and say, hey, what do you think about this?
Did he say start of training camp, or did he say the start of the regular season?
I think
what I thought.
I would say start of the regular season.
But I mean, you've been around Jarvis. He's a guy who, I mean, he is locked in, focused, all in, and I could definitely see him. Maybe along the lines of like, you deal with my agent. I don't want to have to deal with it whatsoever when the season starts.
Yeah,
Jarvis is such a key guy on this team, not just because of his performance, but the attitude he brings.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, the energy he brings.
I think it's pretty safe to say if there's a spark plug on this team, a driver of this football team, it's Jarvis Landry on both sides of the football.
Absolutely.
And I think he's got that personality that kind of permeates and motivates some other guys. So, look, I don't think anyone questions Jarvis Landry. I know they would like to see him improve in some aspects of his game, route running a little bit and some different things and being in the right place where he's supposed to be. But there's no question that this is a guy that you want signed, you want him here with you for the long term. And I don't think anybody really questions unless he starts the season and just completely falls off the map and turns out to be a bust, which I don't think anyone could even imagine. They're going to want to get this thing done before next season.
No, no question. The thing, again, I don't know what the contract demands have been from his agent. I'm losing my voice here.
Yeah.
The contract demands have been from his agent. Jarvis is a fabulous player in so many different ways, route running, catching, toughness, and all that determination. There are certain things that Jarvis is not. He's not a high-end speed guy. So, again, if the agent is asking for a contract that you would expect somebody who does everything, who is all that, then there may have to be some tough discussions. But if the contract demands are reasonable, whatever that means in this particular case, then again, he does too much for this team.
You can't, you know, it's, especially where this team has gone, where they've gotten to right now, where their place is in the NFL, and I think the optimism that is not only within the building, within the locker room, but I think the community is very optimistic about this football team. You know, the last thing you want to do, they've done a good job this year of keeping their guys, keeping their free agents, sending a message that, hey, you play well for us, we're going to reward you, and we're going to reward you here.
Correct.
Not make you go somewhere else and be rewarded. Jarvis, you know, if anybody fits into that framing, it certainly is Jarvis Landry.
No, correct. And they already re-signed this offseason. Kenny Stills, yep. Andre Branch, they extended Rashad Jones.
Kiko,
they brought back Jermon Bushrod. They re-signed John Denny. So as you mentioned, yeah, they believe in the philosophy of developing their core, and Jarvis is right in the middle of that.
Yeah,
core.
No doubt. Hey, let's take a few questions here along the way. The High Golfer, Abo, Julius Thomas goes down. If Julius Thomas goes down, how comfortable are you with the depth that tied in behind him? Well, you know, that becomes a pretty big question, because you got Fasano, but Fasano's not the pass-catching tight end. Certainly that they're expecting Julius Thomas to be in that aspect of the game. Behind that, you got Marquise Gray. Marquise did some good things for the Dolphins last year, but he's certainly not the impact guy of a Julius Thomas. Now, I'm saying the impact of Julius Thomas, looking back a couple years to Julius Thomas when he was in Denver, not sure for sure he's going to get to that level now, but And then you've got the kid from UCLA.
Thomas
they drafted Thomas Duarte. He's going to have. I tell you, he's got his hands full making this roster going into this year after the moves they made at tight end. But if Julius Thomas goes down, my comfort level at the tight end position takes a dramatic drop.
But how many teams around the league have a number two tight end who can step in and just you don't lose anything?
Yeah, you don't.
Hey, well, Gary Barnage. We talked about free agents. Gary Barnage is out there but big numbers in Cleveland the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Maybe you place a call if he's not signed by then.
Well, but look, I would say now if the Dolphins want to be where they want to be at the end of the season, they can ill afford to lose a Julius Thomas. If he plays the way that expectations are set out for him to be.
No question.
Right?
No, he could be a major difference maker for this offense.
Yeah, because if you got that guy running down the middle of the field, you know, it makes the corners the safeties have to stay inside the hashes at that, or inside the numbers at that point, and it makes it a little easier for the guys outside if you got a guy like that running down the middle of the field. So it opens up. It does a lot of things, not only with him catching the ball, but opening the passing lanes for a lot of other guys out there.
Yeah, and you can start playing the "what if this guy gets injured" game with a lot
with
of
everybody.
Players with every team.
Everybody, every team. That's kind of when you know everybody comes. Oh, geez, I got a tough schedule. I said, well, you know what? Schedules are schedules, and schedules are fluid in the league, as far as I'm concerned, and fluid from the standpoint of guys going down, injuries, especially with the concussion protocols. Now, you know, one guy gets dinged a little bit, he could be out for 4 weeks in the protocol. And if that guy's a key player, if you're getting ready to play New England and Tom Brady happens to get dinged and with Giselle, you know, kind of out there shouting about him, he had a concussion last year. And, oh, no, I didn't. I wonder how does that conversation go, you think, with Giselle and Tom?
Very delicately.
Very delicately. No doubt about that. But, yeah, anyway, I would be a little concerned at the tight end position with them down.
No, it'd be great to have, like, Pro Bowl level guys at every position, 2D, but that's not reality.
No, it's not. I'll ask you this. The Dolphins' depth right now leaps and bounds better than it was last year at this moment.
I would absolutely agree, no question. And more proven guys at certain positions. I mean, think back to running back last year at this time. We were like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
And they brought in Arian Foster in July.
Arian Foster was a savior, right?
Correct.
Hey, he's got more tread on him. He's going to be all right. He's going to be our guy. Yeah. And he goes down. He's out after 1 week. And all of a sudden, your running game gets better. Not expected by too many people. But it'll be interesting. El Chapo Jr., we've been hearing a lot about Charles Harris. But how are the other rookies doing? Charles Harris has been the guy everyone's talking about in a position where, you know, it comes to strength, it comes to leverage, it comes to all these things, and they haven't been in pads yet, but he's shown the quick step everyone's looking for. He was a nuisance for the offense to get plays off during the OTAs and during minicamp. Hopefully he can continue to do the same thing.
And he wants to learn.
Yep.
He's picking the ear of everybody and anybody, including Cameron Wake, including Jason Taylor.
Yep.
Shows a guy who's serious about
other rookies that we saw, and we only saw him for a couple days, during the course of OTAs, mini camps, and that whole thing. I look at Tankersley as a guy that just and only me. I kind of look at guys and how they carry themselves. And I've said this before in a program, how they carry themselves, because you can't make a whole lot out of OTAs and out of mini camps when they're not out in pads. But I thought Tankersley looked comfortable and looked like he fit in there. He was working with the first team at times throughout it. And when I saw Raekwon McMillan, he looked comfortable in there a little bit.
Isaiah Ford looked the part.
Isaiah Ford, no question about that. The guy I would say has a little catching up to do would be Asiata. I think he kind of, I think he had a little eye opener on when he's playing against Jordan Phillips and Ndamukong Suh on a daily basis out there. I think he goes, "Whoa, this is going to be a little bit more than I anticipated." And
they were not in pads. So
not in pads, but all I know is I asked him, "How's it going out there?" And he goes, "Ooh."
Yeah, he mentioned his battles with Ndamukong Suh not going particularly well, but join the club, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Look, if you're getting worn out by Ndamukong Suh in mini camp and OTAs, you know, get in line, because there's going to be 100 guys standing along with you at that point. At Kirky 555, hey Bo from Glasgow, Scotland, will you be in London next year? I'll be in London next year. Dolphins go there week four. They've got Tampa. They're at
the Chargers.
At the Chargers in LA, at the Jets, and on to London.
Yep.
So that's I'll be out there. Saints. I'll be there. I'm not sure I'm going to want to be there with the way things are going in London these days, but I'll be there.
Very good.
Yeah, I like London. I have liked London. Might stay closer to home when I'm in London now. At Man Called Jane, I'd love it if Phillips becomes the guy they drafted him to be, but can't say I'm expecting it. That's a tough one to call right now, because he's done. There are times when you look at him, you go, "Wow, that guy is dominating," and then there are other times you go, "Well, where'd he go?"
And that was a book on him coming out of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Question is, now he spent some time with Sue in Oregon. I don't know if he's spending time with Sue in Oregon between now and the time they come back for training camp. When you listen to him talk, you know, he talks the talk that, okay, I understand now. I know I've got to be more consistent. I know I've got to do this. You know, he's worked with Ndamukong. Can he carry that over to be, and look, all he's got to be is consistent with his play and consistent with his effort. But for a guy like that, all he's got to do is a big ask for him at this point.
No, and that's a big key to this Dolphin defense. I mean, they do not have a lot of proven commodities at defensive tackle in the least. We've addressed this before. And if this guy doesn't come through, and again, all the physical attributes are there. I mean, he's big, he's fast, he can do backflips. I mean, he can field punts. He fields punts at practice like it's nothing. So the guy has it. And I still remember a play against Seattle last year where he busted the line of scrimmage and basically tackled Russell Wilson as he's handing off to the running back to cause a fumble. It's there.
Had the interception, not only interception, but hurdles a guy, and
it's there. It's just got to show up on a consistent basis, and if it doesn't, then that's a problem. Yeah, it's a big problem.
Then it is. Then they've got a couple guys they drafted, and some other guys come and try. But I don't think anyone would say they wouldn't want Phillips to be the guy if he can get over this inconsistency issue that he's been having.
Correct.
Ray Finkel, 413. Hey, Bo, it's been a while. How do you feel about the linebacker core? Well, you know what? I'm kind of along the lines with talking about to Allen about it a little bit. You know, I think you've got to wait and see how these guys are going to play when they get in pads. I mean, Raekwon McMillan, to me, is a big question mark on how he's going to be. You know, you throw out Cole Amisi, too. Cole Amisi's not – he's coming back. Yep. Is he going to be healthy enough to – I was a little surprised that he couldn't practice at all during OTAs and minicamp, you know, so it leads me to believe that is Cole Amisi going to have an impact at all, or is he going to be able to pass a physical and even get to training camp?
You have to write him down in pencil, not in pen
absolutely.
Now. But they have added Lawrence Timmons, who's probably more of a playmaker than they've had outside of Kiko Alonso.
Probably as big of a linebacker pickup as they've had since they picked up Carlos Dansby.
Yep.
Right. And you'd like him to have a little more impact than Dansby, but I think it's that same level of expectation with him going in. And certainly you look at what he did against the Dolphins in the playoff game up in Pittsburgh, and if he plays like that, then you feel like you've got a good job. And I like Kiko being moved out of the middle. I think he becomes more effective and more of a playmaker when he's out in space. And so I like that. I like that happening.
I would tell you, I don't know exactly how good it's going to be in the linebacking core. I do definitely believe it's going to be better than it was last year.
Look, first of all, with the massive injuries that they had at that position, and they weren't that strong coming in.
Correct.
Prior to the injuries, and then you lose these starters, and Jelani was trying to play on a bad leg all year long, and you had Neville in there playing, you had Spencer Paysinger in there playing,
Mike Hall
in there playing, so you had a lot of rotation going on there. Only thing good about that is those guys, Neville Hewitt, and who's back, and Mike Hall, got a lot of reps and a lot of experience, but
you want difference makers,
and these guys are the difference makers that need to get it done. At Ebot, Ito Abs, Cold, you be my guest on this one.
Ito Abs, Cold, Butent, I don't know.
I'm trying to see. I'm trying to read it backwards to see if there's some kind of a hidden meaning in there or something. Anyway, David Harris just signed with New England today. How does that concern the Dogs? We talked about that right at the top of the show. I've always liked David Harris as a player.
Yeah.
He's been a very, very good player with the Jets. He's a guy that understands the business, knows what he's doing, and I think he's still got some gas in that tank. And I think it was a good signing for New England, and just creates a. It creates another level of hurdles for the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, but the question was, how does it concern the Dolphins? It doesn't, because the Dolphins are worried about themselves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you're dealing with New England the two times you play.
Look,
them.
You can't. You kind of look and see what's going on, but you can't concern yourself with other people.
No.
You know, I believe that football and any sport you play, it's look inwards at yourself, play the best you can play. And if you're playing the best you can play, then, you know,
take your shot with
that's
that.
All you can do, yeah. You know. At King Edlin, number one, our concern for me, O-line, health of Pouncey, Tunsil moving, and B.A. gone, Brandon Albert gone. Well, number one concern for me, I'm with you, health of Pouncey. Number one concern for me, maybe on the whole team right now, the health of Pouncey. Not concerned about Tunsil moving at all. I think he's going to be a better left tackle. Way better left tackle than he was a left guard. And I hate the fact that that Brandon Albert's gone. Just I thought he was such a great guy in the locker room and a leadership guy. But I think when you drafted Tunsil, that was the beginning of the end for Brandon.
Oh, no question. And let's be honest. I mean, I love Brandon as much as you. Yep. He's an absolutely great guy. But, I mean, he's a guy who's pretty far ahead in his career.
Yes.
And his body's taken a toll. And he's... Let's be honest.
He's not the same player.
Correct. And Laramie Tunsil, I would tell you, not only is going to be better at left tackle than he was at left guard, he's going to be better at left tackle than Brandon Albert was at left tackle.
Oh, yeah, no question. To me, I would be disappointed if we're not looking back in 10 years and seeing Tunsil as a 5- or 6-time Pro Bowler.
I just think
he's that type of player. And that's really the reason they got him anyway. At AKAJQ, hey, Bo, I like your shirt. LOL. Lately, you've been looking good. Take me shopping. Well, you know, I try to represent a little bit. Although my collar's kind of getting turned up over here, but
it's a nice shirt. I mean,
it's nothing special.
Not exactly.
Well, but you know,
who likes green or something.
No. You know what it is? I get guys. I get typically on here, depending on what I wear, I get critiqued for my clothing.
Oh, okay.
So, like I like plaid stuffs.
Okay.
And when I wear a plaid shirt. They all tell me that I'm wearing like a picnic tablecloth.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. So that's what I usually get. So when I wear just a typical normal shirt, then I get I get high praise.
It's like you got off the golf course.
Except I didn't.
Okay.
It's too hot right now.
It is hot.
You know, there's two things that keep me off the golf course right now. It's too hot.
It rains all the time.
And the way I play. Oh. Those are the two things.
The rain doesn't stop you?
No, the rain doesn't stop me. No, I stop me.
There you go.
Losing golf balls stops me.
That'll do it.
At Diane Faye Me. Hey, Bo. Hey, look at this. Hey, Bo, do you pick out your own clothes? Looking good, brother. I do pick out my own clothes. They're not garanimals. I don't have to match the lion with the lion and do that. I just usually what's first on my hanger, I pull it off, and that's where it goes, you know?
The guy way of doing things.
That's it. at the Robot Daddy. Does Wake have the potential of being Defensive Player of the Year? And what percentage do you guys give him? I don't know, percentage of possibly being Player of the Year.
You know, kind of early for that, isn't
it? It's kind of early for that. And you know, every year Cam Wake's not getting any younger. I mean, he certainly played great last year, especially coming off the injury and all those things. But I think to expect that Cam, look, for Cam Wake to be Defensive Player of the Year this year or any defensive end to be a Defensive Player of the Year, he better have about 17 or 18 sacks to start with.
Or forced fumbles,
yep.
Fumble recoveries,
interceptions or whatever.
Maybe touchdowns like JT had in 2006.
Yep.
Got to have more than just simple sacks. But hey, forget Player of the Year. If he makes a Pro Bowl again, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Joey Bag of Donuts, what are you guys' thoughts about the rookies doing team-building exercises and staying together during the break? A little surprise. They're down the Keys doing some
Well, that's part of the NFL program, the rookie transition program that every all NFL rookies are required to do. So that takes care of that particular issue.
So I don't pay that much attention to that. What does that mean?
They used to have a rookie symposium for only drafted players right after the minicamp.
Right, I remember that.
But last year, the year before that, they changed it to where instead of being
team
in Chicago, every team does it themselves, and it's all rookies, including undrafted rookies.
So they can stay a little longer.
I don't know how long it is, maybe 3-5 days after the minicamp.
After the minicamp.
And it's basically their lectures about the transition from college to being a professional, and then team building exercises.
I thought they did that the first week they came in, rather than go out in the field, they did all of that stuff. So this is just
the Dolphins going above and beyond what they're required to do.
So they're doing they're doing in team building is more along the lines of certainly not to the level or degree, but as an Army Ranger, as a Navy SEAL, they're doing kind of some of those things where you got to work as a team to keep something going or. I don't know if they're doing. They're not. I'm sure they're not doing heavy lifting and stuff.
I mean, it's not going to win games in September, but it certainly doesn't hurt. So.
Except you're probably going to have five guys make the team. What about all the rest of the guys? What do they do with their team building?
They'll have the memories.
The great memories that I had, right? Dolphin 209. Gaze will bench or cut anyone, no matter what your name is.
Is that a question or a statement?
I think it's a statement. Is that a statement, Leon? And did they write you or did you write you? They wrote you. So you did. So you wrote this down verbatim. Gaze will bench or cut anybody, no matter what your name is.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far.
It
would take some severe transgression for certain guys.
Well, it would take a pretty severe you'd have to do something bad if you're in Ndamukong Suh, I would say.
With the captain involved for some of these guys, you would have to do something really, really bad to get cut.
At Steven Nav 05, Steen or Craig Urbeck play center if Pouncey can't. Well, they both played center last year. First it was Steen who played center and really started out, seemed to be fairly well holding his own, and I think he's kind of like that pitcher that you see the second time around. After a couple games, people started figuring him out pretty quickly.
Well, he told us when he spoke to the media during the OTAs that he got hurt in one of his first starts, and that really
hampered
hurt his effectiveness, and that he wasn't the same player afterward. Yeah. So that would be a factor in it. Would be one of those two guys if possible.
Yeah, it definitely would be one of those two guys as it stands right now. If that's how you go in right now, so
or Jake Brendel if he gets a shot.
Yeah, so. I just say Pouncey needs to stay healthy. That's why.
They're certainly going to do everything.
So let me ask you this, Alan. So you have a situation with Mike Pouncey. Mm-hmm. You're nursing him along.
Yep.
You're letting him rehab.
Yep.
He's done nothing on the field up to now. You go into training camp. Do you give him any time on the field to get his feet on the ground, or you just say, hey, let's just keep you until the season starts and we'll go from there? I mean, I would think that at some point you have to have a little intensity work before you go out there. Look, the guy's been around for a long time. He's played a lot of games, but I think you still need to have a little bit of something out there.
Agreed. One sporadic practice here and there.
Yeah.
Get him in there with the starters in game three.
Yeah.
The dress rehearsal. Yeah.
Set him down game four.
Set him down. Absolutely. Correct.
Yeah.
That's a game plan would be.
At Coy Vega 13, hey, Bo, how come we can't live stream mini or training camps? I don't want you to see it, which to me is kind of a little bit, I think it's a little bit overboard. I think it's funny when the Dolphins were going to Super Bowls, the media was allowed on the practice field, standing right next to our drills and stuff.
Different era.
You know, now, but you know what's funny is this whole espionage that goes around, or, you know, this feeling around that you've got to protect everything in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Team. You know, that's permeated all the way down to the to high schools now.
Yeah. It's not just the Dolphins.
I covered some high schools my last year when I was doing TV, and, you know, you come around with a camera, whoa, hey, what are you guys doing? It used to be you came around with a camera in a high school. Man, they'd roll out the red carpet for you, welcome you
with open arms.
But now, oh, wait, what are you looking? Well, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's funny how secretive football has become.
Yeah, but it's been gradual and it's been steady and
it's getting more and more and more, yeah. It's not going to change by any stretch of the imagination. Alan, I'm quickly before we go, your thoughts right now on this football team and what your expectations would be for them this year. I'm not asking you to pick a number. I'm not asking for predictions. But just from a standpoint of obviously this team went through some growth last year. Mm-hmm. Obviously there are a lot of areas in this football team statistically that you'd like to see improved on both sides of the ball. That being said, how do you think their ride – and look, let's say this, assuming that let's not get into injuries and this and that, because we know how injuries can change a team. But all things being equal, your thoughts on what the future could hold, the short-term future could hold for this team.
Here's the two things I would tell you is I think, number one, this is clearly a more talented team, mm-hmm. because they have better depth across the board at practically every position and more – proven guys. We mentioned running back. That's the one glaring. I think cornerback, they're in pretty good shape. Yeah. I think last year there were a lot more question marks than there are. I also think they'll be better offensively for the simple fact that this is their second year under Adam Gase's offense. Yep. And logic tells you that the more time you spend on offense, the better you're going to be. So from that standpoint, I would think they're going to be a better team than they were last year. Yep. Now, having said that, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of things broke right for this team to go 10-6 last year. They were magical in close games, always finding a way to win.
And big plays, a lot of big plays.
Big plays by a lot of different guys. Yep. As it turned out, again, you can't analyze the schedule before it starts, but as it turned out, looking backwards, they played a schedule that did not prove to be that difficult.
Yep.
That formula is necessarily easy to sustain.
Yep.
So you're looking at a possibility that they could be a better team and not have as good a record.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I said, you know, the thing about it is, and it holds true for a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams that could end up the season at 8-8 or 7-9 or 9-7 that are better than their records, but mm-hmm. circumstances of this league. And look, there's so many games now. I mean, now, how many games are settled by 3 points? I don't know what the number is. The number of games that are settled by 3 points or less is the majority of the games are settled by 3 points or less. And so your margin of error is so thin that, you know, in a blink of an eye, you could go from being, you know, 3 games over 500 to being 3 games below 500.
Yeah.
But
I know you asked me long term, but looking big picture, it could be a scenario where that possibly they take a step back record wise this year. But to me, I don't think there's a question that the whole thing is moving upward
in the right direction
because they have the right pieces in place, starting with Adam Gase, who I think is a tremendous coach. And really,
well, let me take it one step further, Alan. Past Adam Gase, let's go from an organizational standpoint, because when you look at, you know, and I'm a firm believer, and you look at the teams that are always up in the top. I mean, you look at the Giants, you look at the Cowboys, you look at the 49ers for a while there, you look
Green Bay.
At Green Bay, you look at New England, you look at those teams, and Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh probably is the epitome of when you look at the stability from an ownership standpoint, mm-hmm. from a coaching standpoint, right. from the way they do business, their business model. That gives them that success. Are we creeping closer to being that type of franchise?
Yeah, and in the sense, if you mentioned Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's interesting because this is not a team that you very often see go out and spend a whole lot of money for a big-name free agent.
Yep.
And the Dolphins have recently veered away from that that MO, and what they've been focusing on last offseason and this offseason particularly is retaining their own guys, identify the guys we can win with, and re-sign them. Now, the key is going to be making sure you re-sign the right guys. And this is where the Jarvis situation comes into play and why I would be shocked if he doesn't get an extension soon.
Alan, appreciate it, my man. Alan Poulpard, you can catch him at Dolphins.com. And how often do you show up on Dolphins.com between now and training camp?
A few times
still
a week.
All right, so you can catch him a few times a week on that. We're going to be back on Friday, early start on Friday, 3 o'clock. 3:30. 3:30. So 3:30 start again on Friday. We're trying to get an early start to the weekend, right? You guys can't blame us for that, can you? You can't blame us for that. Leon wants to get drunk by 4:15.
4:30.
All right, that's gonna do it for the program. We'll see you on Friday. Remember, if you want to see this again, you can see it on MiamiDolphins.com. You can see it on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page starting a little later tonight or certainly by tomorrow morning. We'll catch you next time. See you on Friday.